Hello and welcome to the Martial Arts Teaching Tactics Podcast. I'm Chris Kent, and I'm joining Chris Bean. Mr. Bean?
Hello, sir.
Today, we're going to dive into another hierarchy or system or distinction of levels. Previously, we talked about the levels of understanding. We've talked about the learning cycle and a few different other kind of hierarchies and levels and progression through these different things. But today, we're going to be specifically talking about the levels of your instructors, or the levels of an instructor, because the difference between a good instructor and a great instructor is in the details that they can see and how direct the feedback that they can give to their students. I'm sure we have all seen students perform a move that is not quite right, and, you know, at one point in time, not entirely been able to be sure what is going wrong with the move. And that difference between the good instructor and great instructor is being able to correctly identify the root cause of the problem and then communicate the effective and proper solution to fixing that problem. So we're going to dive into and talk about the different levels of this instructor feedback today.
You know, this can be kind of directly dependent on the amount of time an instructor has on the floor. Of course, the more time you have on the floor, the more experience you have, the more tools you have in your toolbox, the better that instructor is going to be able to solve those, see what the actual cause of the problem is, not necessarily just put a Band-Aid over what you see, but actually figure out what the root cause of that problem is and then fix that. And then that just comes with time, with experience, and oftentimes making mistakes and sometimes making the wrong corrections, seeing, okay, nope, that didn't work. Let's try this. And trying those different things. But that person, that instructor that's been there for time and time and time and time, and the more time, the more opportunity they have to kind of see these moves, to correct these moves, the better they're going to be able to give those students the proper feedback in order to fix whatever mistakes they might be having. Now, this can also be directed or tweaked or dependent even on the student, because if I have new students, brand new, first day white belts, or even perhaps depending on how you run your school, before they even get their white belt. Oops, I just bumped my mic. Before they even get their white belt, the feedback that I give them is going to be different than the feedback I would give a black belt student who's been training for, you know, years and years, and they may be having but let's say they're having a similar issue. The feedback, the type of feedback, the path I would go and choose on the white belt student is going to be a different path that I would choose on the black belt student. I can be a little bit harsh, more direct with the black belt student, and with the white belt student, I need to be more caring, more thoughtful, and perhaps even explain it in a way that it makes sense to a quote-unquote general person, as opposed to a correction that I can give to somebody who is a martial artist. I can tell them the ifs and or the whys and the philosophy and everything behind the movement for the black belt. The white belt, I'm going to say, hey, listen, you want to do it like this, you know, like you turn the key in your car. I'm going to link it to something they do frequently or something they can understand. But for a black belt student, that the route that I take to get to that correction is going to be vastly different. So not only is this somewhat dependent on the not even somewhat, but this is directly dependent on how much time you have on the floor. But then on top of that, it is also somewhat dependent on the student that you're correcting. So if I have a white belt student, the type of feedback that I give them is going to be different than the feedback that I would give a black belt student. So you have to pay attention to the level of which the student is, because again, you don't want to overwhelm or give that brand new white belt person too much information all, you know, on their first day or, you know, within their first year, perhaps even depending. So that all has to kind of come into play as you are selecting and figuring out what corrections to make with your students. Now, if you, the instructor, has a lot of time on the floor, of course, that means that you are more likely to have an easier time figuring out what the fixes, what those corrections are to be made. Now, sometimes you can do that, right? You can, you're watching somebody else's group and you walk over, you come in, you fix this, 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 and you walk away. From time to time, okay, maybe that's an okay way to go. But if you look at that from, so scenario, Master Kent is running a group of yellow belts. I am in charge of overseeing, you know, the class. I don't necessarily have a group that I'm working with. I'm kind of bouncing around back and forth between the groups. I see Master Kent do something that is not quite right, or one of his students is doing that something that's not quite right. And instead of talking to Master Kent and having him see what's happening and then give him the tools to fix that, I step in, I stop his group, I make this correction, and then I walk away. Well, in that scenario, the student perhaps got the solution they needed. Great, good for them. But I just walked all over Master Kent. And not only did I do that, you know, for him, but I did that in front of the group, in front of the students that he's working with. So that diminishes him, that instructor, Master Kent, in this instance, in the student's eyes, right? Okay, well, we're not going to listen to this guy. We're going to wait for somebody else to come in and fix this, right? That's not a great way to do that. On top of that, I didn't give him the tools or the feedback or the understanding of what I was doing, why I was doing it, and the purpose behind it. So sometimes, on occasion, maybe you could do that. But the more times you do that, the worse off it's going to be. The more times you do that, the more times the students are going to be looking for you to step in to make those corrections. The more times you do that, the less whoever is running that ring is actually going to need to do, and they're just going to be waiting for you to step in and take over for them. Or they're going to be getting mad that you don't think they can handle it, or you're taking it away from them, or whatever the optics that they choose to look at that situation through, but none of them are good. So a better way to do that is, if you've had a lot of time, a lot of experience, you can see the students making a mistake or a potential mistake that's going to happen, tell that person who's running that group, hey, listen, I see this. If you do this or this or this, that could be a way to change it. Or you ask them, hey, listen, I see this. What do you think? Have you tried to correct that? Did you see that? You know, what would you do to fix that? And get them to come up with the answer to that, because then that's empowering them to make that correction. And then if they just try that, let them try it. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, then you can say, okay, hey, how about you try that? Try this new solution this time. Then they can try your solution. And all of that without you stepping on their toes or taking over their group or something for them. And in all of that scenario, the better scenario, the student is still getting the corrections that they need to fix their mistakes. You're just doing it in the right and the proper way in my eyes, and you're giving that group leader, that instructor, the opportunity to see what and why you're doing those corrections, which then will boost their level that we're going to break down here in just a minute, but it'll boost their level. Like it'll take them from, you know, a baseline instructor to, instead of needing to spend, you know, 15 or 30 years on the floor teaching to pick up those things, you're giving them those tools to put in their toolbox that they can pull out when and if they need them later on. Right, so that will be the best way to handle situations like that. If you have instructors that are very detail oriented, this might be helpful for you and for the students, because if you are, or they are, very detail oriented, they will be able to see those small details that the students are doing or potentially not doing. And if they are detail oriented, meaning they can see those little details, they can pick those things out or put them in when they're not there, that will again greatly help that instructor's success and then also the student's success, because they can see those little details or they can add those little details in there. Now, that's not to say that if somebody isn't detail oriented in their quote unquote normal life, that they're going to be a terrible instructor. But if you are a detail oriented person, that is directly related to how good you are of an instructor on the teaching floor, because being able to see those small little details that the students are doing or not doing, again, perhaps will hugely improve your level of understanding, your level of feedback that you can give to those students, just by being able to see those small little details that are being done. Now, if you are on the teaching floor, and I'm sure this or similar to this has probably happened to you before, you are a phenomenal instructor. You are giving the best feedback to your students that you possibly can, and most of the students are picking those things up and doing them and fixing those issues they have. But you have a few that are there for who knows why or for what reasons, and they're not listening, they're not picking up what you're putting down, they don't necessarily care about the correction. Sometimes that can happen, right? Sometimes either you need to think about a way to re-describe that correction so they can understand it, or perhaps that student's having an off day and it doesn't matter what you say to them because they're not going to do it anyways. Sometimes that happens, right? You can't, unfortunately, I mean, you can't be with the student for every day, all day, and then give them the best chance of success while they're on the training floor. Doesn't happen all the time. Can't do that. Get it. And from time to time, that person has a bad day or tough day or, you know, who knows what happens before or, you know, what potentially they're going to be leaving to. But when the class is over, and that could make your class for them anyways, not such a great time. And in those situations, you try to correct them and you try and try and try, and it just is worse off for them. So even though you might be a great instructor, best instructor, the feedback you give is top notch, that person, for whatever reason, on that day or for that time period, may just not be receptive to that feedback. Or they have such a big head because they see themselves as being able to do nothing wrong. When you give that correction, they're like, yeah, right. Who knows? You don't know what's going on. I got this, man. You're doing it wrong. Hopefully that's not the case, and hopefully you can weed out those problems and correct those things in the right manner so that doesn't happen. But from time to time, people have tough days. It's hard to take that into, it's hard to know and deal with that while you're on the training floor or you're teaching. So, you know, you've been there probably, or you very likely potentially will be there. Sometimes the correction you give just will land on deaf ears because of whatever reason. Sometimes that student needs a day or whatever, and then they come back and, hey man, sorry, I had a tough day last time, but let's fix this stuff now. Okay, great, good. So just be aware that that is a potential maybe one off or a, you know, three off type thing that'll happen ever for you, but just be aware that sometimes things like that happen. Now, let's talk about the specific levels of this detail-oriented instructor. Level number one, right? And this, in these first couple levels, would be kind of where your assistant instructors would be, your not assistant, I'm sorry, your junior instructors would be at. So these are people that are perhaps they're higher belts. They come to help you with class. They're not necessarily on your payroll. They're not quote unquote instructors. They're not teaching class. They're there to kind of help and fill in the gaps and give a little bit of feedback to the students as they're going. Junior instructors. Level number one, the instructor does not even see the mistake. So the student's making a mistake. Maybe it's a small mistake. Maybe it's not a small mistake, but they don't even recognize that the student is making a mistake. Okay. Level number two, the instructor can see something is wrong, but can't quite put their finger on what exactly that mistake is. So they can tell something's not quite right about that technique, or something was wrong in there, but I don't exactly know what it was. That's level number two. Level number three, the instructor can see what the student needs to do to correct the mistake. But they see that there's a mistake. They see, okay, this is the correction they need to make, but they don't know necessarily how to verbalize that correction. So they can see the mistake is happening. They know where and what it is. They don't exactly know the words, or you just kind of do this with your body, right? Instead of actually being able to describe what that correction is, they can see it. They know it's wrong. They can tell it's this spot right here, but they don't know necessarily the words to put with that correction. So maybe in those instances, they say, just do this with your body, and they kind of move and show them, but that there's no words. I don't exactly know how to put this into words. Like that's where the level three would be at for the detail-oriented instructor. Level four, so now we're getting into kind of the assistant instructor realm. So maybe junior instructors was like level one and two, level three and four would be the assistant instructors. So level four, the instructor can verbalize how to correct the mistake, but their correction fixes the symptoms and not the disease. In other words, they fix the outcome, but not the root problem. So they can see the mistake, here's the mistake, and they can fix the symptom. They can fix the symptoms, but not the disease. They're not getting to the root cause of the problem. That's kind of what I would consider like a Band-Aid correction, right? They fix this the one time, but they're not actually fixing what is causing the mistake. They just fix the mistake, right? And depending on how intricate the move is, of course, that is very dependent on your art and all different things, but hopefully that makes sense. They're fixing a problem, but it's not necessarily the main problem, okay? Level number five, this is level five and level six. This is where the proper instructors would be at. So we move past junior instructors, we move past assistant instructors. These are the instructors. These are the ones that are teaching your classes. These are the ones that are, they're the instructors, okay? Level number five, the instructor can see the mistake and is able to correctly identify the root cause of the mistake. Right, so they can see that there's a mistake, they can see all the symptoms of the mistake, they can see exactly where the root cause of the mistake is. And then at level six, the instructor can correctly verbalize in an understandable way how to fix the root cause of the problem. Right, and that's kind of the pinnacle, that's where you want your instructors to be at. They can see the mistake, they can tell where the root cause is, and then they can correctly verbalize in an understandable way how to fix the root cause of that mistake. Now, again, the more time your team has on the floor teaching, the more feedback that you, the head instructor, whoever this is, whoever you are listening to this, picking up these things that we're giving you, the more information you can give those instructors, the more tools you can add to their toolbox, the better they're going to be. So instead of going, you know, maybe 2 years at level one, 2 years at level two, whatever the breakdown perhaps would be, but they would be accelerated through that because you are giving them, hey, listen, I'm not just going to step in and fix this for you. I want you to be able to see this. So this is what the student's doing. Here are the things that I think you should do, or this is what they're doing. How would you go about fixing this, right? And then maybe this is a conversation you have with them, and obviously that you wouldn't want to take up a bunch of time on the teaching floor to do this, although sometimes in a very short instances, this could be useful. But you would say, hey, listen, I saw the students making this, doing this. You know, what's the problem with this? Well, why is this not quite correct? You know, how are they doing this incorrectly? Or what is this? Why? Try to give them a scenario in which they can dissect whatever the problem is. Hopefully then they can see what the root cause is and then have a solution. Now, you may have to guide them along the way, but the more time that you can have your teaching team go through those scenarios, the more scenarios like that you can kind of play out, the more guided practice with that they have in a controlled staff meeting type environment. When it comes time to do those things on the floor, they can look in their toolbox, pick up the right tool, and use it to fix that mistake. Then, again, that will accelerate them through those levels that we just discussed. And obviously, that would be ideal for you and your team. Again, you want all of your teaching staff to be at a level six, or at least close to a level six that you can be. At the very least, you want them to be progressing from level one and then to level two and so on all the way through. And perhaps explaining this, talking through this as it relates to your school will be a way that they can see that, oh, hey, there are different, there's a hierarchy here. I have to do this before I can do that, and then this. It's not just, that's why I can't do those things that Master so-and-so is doing, because I don't know those things yet, right? But this is the path that I need to follow in order to get to where that person is right now, right? Being able to discuss that and see that there is a path that they can get there. It isn't just overnight, poof, okay, now I can do all this stuff. No, it's you have to take your time. You have to follow the path, right? And hopefully you can pick up some goodies on the path that will help you progress through the path a little faster, right? That's where you can give your team those tools to put in their toolbox they can use to progress them through that even quicker than they would normally go. When we have this range of instructors on the floor, so you have anywhere from level 1 to level 6 and all the way across throughout there, as the instructor of the class, it is kind of important to have at least an idea of where everybody is so that you can put them in the jobs that are most associated or the jobs that they will excel at. You don't want to put a level 1 instructor in charge of a group and expect them to do a level 6 and then be mad at them when they can't do a level 6. So as the instructor, being able to see where everybody is and put them in jobs that are close to, maybe a little bit higher, so you're pushing them to do a little bit more, but close to the levels that they are. You don't want to ask too much of your level 2s, your level 4s, without knowing, without getting them set up for those things, it's not going to work out well for anybody. So put them in places where they can excel or put them in places where they have to work a little bit harder than they would normally work to help to push them to those higher levels all the way across the board. Of course, the key to developing this detailed focused is by example. If you do step in to solve a problem on the occasion, make sure you tell the instructor, whoever was teaching that group, this is why I did this, and these are the ins and outs. This is, all of those things that you went through so that you can give them that tool that they can use in a future class. Now, if you have instructors on your team and you see them kind of struggling to solve a problem, and maybe they're doing a Band-Aid fix. Okay, they're doing a Band-Aid fix. You see that happening. Let them do that. See how that works for them. Not necessarily that you're allowing them to fail, but let them fail. Like, let them see, okay, that worked in this, but it didn't actually fix the problem. So they have to go back and try to fix this. And okay, that didn't actually fix the problem either. And then let them kind of filter through all of that whole process during a class. And then perhaps at the end of class or in a meeting in the following week, talk to them about that. Talk about their thought process and maybe give them some small nudges towards the right answer, but don't just hand them the answer, right? If they're trying to do it, sometimes let them try, let them struggle, just like you would do with your students. If you had a student that's making a mistake and you came in, nope, it's this way, and you move them into the right position, and then you walk away, and then you come back, nope, it's this way, you move them into the right position, they're going to be waiting for you to fix that problem every single time, all the way across the board. You don't want to set your instructors up for that. You don't want to consistently have to be there to hold their hand to teach their classes or teach their groups that they're in. So from time to time, let them kind of struggle through that. See how it works for them. See what solutions they can come up with. And then perhaps talk about what happened. What was their thought process? What problems did they actually see? Did they get to the root cause, but they weren't quite able to verbalize the solution to it? And then if that's the case, great. Then you can give them or nudge them in the ways to fix that and to up their level, so to say.
Being a high-level instructor is like being a high-level student. There'll be a clear difference from someone who is just starting out and someone who has a couple of decades under their belt. If a high-level instructor kept all their secret ideas and philosophies to themselves, then it would take everyone else decades to learn and develop those skills for themselves as well. So be willing to discuss the why behind your corrections and how you made those corrections. That way your team can level up even quicker than you did. Like we talked about, being the example for these things is what's important for them. And as important as it is to let them experience that for themselves and make those corrections and find out what works and doesn't work, we need to be there to be a positive guiding example for them. So, you know, don't give them free license over it and never check in with them and never kind of go over these things with them, but allow them to, you know, tackle problems their own way and then talk about it with them, discuss it with them, guide them in the right direction if they need it, or just reinforce the good work they're already doing. But, you know, don't let them fall on their face and stand back and say, okay, well, they'll figure it out like I did in 15 years. You know, offer that solution, offer that correction, offer that help then, because you already know, and it's going to help them progress even faster, which helps your staff progress faster, which helps your school progress faster. It makes you even better. So, you know, these aren't secrets. These aren't, you know, the vaulted, locked away methods of teaching and methods of correction and method of doing these things. We want everyone to be able to perform their best and reach the highest of their potential. So let your staff know. Let them key them in on these important things that are something you learned that you can use or are using so that they can do the same thing. And, you know, you might find in some instances that they will surprise you or come up with something that you didn't think of, and the road goes both ways. They'll be able to help you grow, you can help them grow. It makes all of us better and improves all of our levels as instructors.
Yeah, you know, that, and that's an interesting point. Sometimes if we've been doing this for so long, you have a kind of a narrow field of vision when it comes to things sometimes. And so you do things that's worked for you in the past, and you tend to not shy off of that path. Right, this is work, so I do this. This works, so I do this. This works, so I do this. But sometimes a newer instructor has this different creative idea to fix this problem, and instead of saying nope, that's never going to work, try it. You know, listen to them because they have a fresh perspective. Something new and different doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong, or doesn't necessarily mean it's never going to work. Perhaps that new, fresh, creative idea could use some of your old school thinking or some of your tried and true methods of getting things to work, and then you can implement that cool new thing that that instructor came up with, which will boost that person's level of ownership, boost that person's level of confidence on the floor, whatever it is, get them to be more involved and get them to feel good about whatever it is they're doing, because you diverted from your path a little bit. You opened up to new creative idea, and because you had the opportunity to have that feedback, that discussion with that person. So don't necessarily think because, you know, I've been doing this forever, you guys don't know anything. No, listen to their ideas. Sometimes they come up with real cool, different creative ideas that you wouldn't have otherwise thought of, because you do things that works and you do things that work and you do things that work, and you kind of shy away from trying new and different things because you don't know. Right, you don't try those things because you don't think about those, but because they're new, they have new, fresh, different ideas. Listen to them, and again, maybe you can tweak some of those with your experience that you already have to improve that idea, and that can be a great opportunity to grow that person as an instructor, and then also as a good team member as well.
Yes, sir. Any last minute thoughts on the levels of instructors?
Yeah, you know, it would be nice to hear some feedback from you guys. If you have a instance where you saw a correction and you made that level 6 a correction, let me know about it, right? In fact, I was just telling Master Kent about one I had the other day where I was teaching white belts, brand new, fresh. They might have been, you know, a week or so in. They're doing a front kick. And this particular student was kicking, and their foot, instead of being up and down, it was kind of diagonal. And I saw their foot was diagonal, and instead of saying, hey, make sure you kick with your toes up, I didn't say anything. I watched how she was getting set up, and she was setting up with her, instead of her hips kind of in line, her body was almost sideways. And because her body was sideways, that was leading for her kick to be kind of diagonal. So instead of putting a Band-Aid solution on, fixing, okay, hey, just make sure you kick with your toes up, I was able to fix her stance, and by fixing her stance, she was able to kick with her toes up, and by doing that all that way, not only did she kick it correctly, but she had maybe 25% more power in that kick because she set her body up correctly. And that was because I didn't put a Band-Aid on it. Hey, make sure your toes are up when you do this kick. I waited. I had the forethought to stop and wait. Okay, hey, let me see, why is this happening? What is the root cause of this? Oh, well, it's because her stance isn't right. Okay, let's fix your stance. Now, boom. Oh, man, that was, yeah. And I could hear she had a good experience from that, because she'd say, oh, yeah, that was a lot easier. Yeah, it was, and it was a lot more powerful. Good job. Boom, five, and then she went back, right? So that was, in my opinion, that was an example of a level six correction. I had the forethought to stop and wait. Okay, what is actually causing this? Fix this, boom. Look at that. Awesome. And then that's an easy fix, that I fixed that small thing, and that's an overarching thing, right? So instead of fixing that front kick and then needing to fix whatever other kick or stance or whatever goes with that, I was able to tweak the stance, the positioning, before the kick happened, that will fix lots of other potential problems down the road. So if you have an instance where you were able to come up with or to solve a correction or get to the root cause of the problem in a level six type fashion, let us know. I want to hear some feedback on how you go about correcting some of those issues.
Yes, sir. And you can drop that feedback on any of our social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Reddit, Instagram, all those places. We're at MA Teaching Tactics, MA for Martial Arts, Teaching Tactics. Again, that's MA Teaching Tactics. Until next time, I'm Chris Kent.
And I'm Chris Bean.